You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Happy Thursday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're almost to Friday. Tariffs were off yesterday. Tariffs back on as of like, I don't know, an hour ago. I got to tell you, folks, I have never experienced anything like this level of crazy in my entire life. I have never read anything like this. In all of my training as an economist, it is bananas. But speaking of bananas, a man that knows exactly what to do with them is here to talk to us today about whether or not no tax on tips is quite the panacea that some think it may be. His name is Chef Greg Leon. He is the owner and operator of Amelinda on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee, a 3-time James Beard Award finalist. 4 times. Thank you, Greg, for correcting me. As far as I'm concerned, a guy slanging down some of the best, most interesting food in the state of Wisconsin or the Midwest.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show, Greg. We've been on a few times talking about food, which I love to talk about. But we're here today to talk about tax on tips. You put out, my friend, a post on Facebook that I thought brought up some of the most important complexities about this idea of no tax on tips. And I wanted to start with just this basic question, Greg. I think you and I come from a place of agreement that people that work, especially in service industry jobs, do not make a sufficient base wage. It is not working well. Tips in general in this country are problematic for a whole gamut of reasons. People that work in these sorts of jobs that receive gratuities, I think, deserve a sustainable wage that will allow them to live in full dignity, and that we shouldn't be needing to rely on a tax-free tip system to get people to that life of dignity. But let's dig deeper. Tell me why you felt compelled to put out this Facebook post about no tax on tips.
First of all, I agree with everything you just said. And because, you know, at first when they started talking about this, even during the campaign, I was like, okay, maybe this is a good idea, which, you know, coming from that man, I had to take my temperature because I never agree with anything he says. But I was like, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it'll be good for the employer, and maybe it'll be good for the employee. Looking into it a little bit more, and I'm not an economist. I know about food and that's about it. But like, I do try to read up on these things. It's not the most amazing thing as they are painting it out to be. So, you know, it has a very limited impact on low-income workers. So I think the number is 25,000 is what's not taxed. Everything after 25,000 don't get taxed.
Correct.
But a lot of people make less than that. It's only cash tips also, so it's not cash and credit card. I will tell you, I do the checkout every night at my restaurant. Very rarely do they get cash tips.
Yeah.
It's mostly on credit cards. So it's not going to have that great impact. 36% of people who work in the tip industry or work and get tipped, that's how they get paid. About 36% live under poverty, so they already don't pay any tax, so they pay very little. So it's not going to have that great impact.
Yeah, a couple of really important things there. We got to track down whether or not cash tips includes the credit card tip. From what you understand,
from what I understand, it's cash tips, not credit card. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
But everything I've seen says cash.
Okay. What I think is even more important, even assuming that it would apply to tips provided on a credit card receipt, the reality is that 1/3 of all of the workers that Trump and others are trying to take credit for doing a big favor for, meaning tipped workers, over 1/3 of tipped workers don't pay any federal income tax at all.
Correct.
Full stop, period. Now, Jacob, there was a little bit of sound of a congressman. This is Congressman Tom Suozzi during one of the congressional hearings about the budget bill talking about no taxes on tips. And he made a couple of, I thought, pretty important points. Can we run the sound?
The president has said, your tips will be 100% yours. Does this tax bill continue the payroll tax on people's tips?
Yes, it does, Mr.
Overtime. The president said your overtime will be tax-free. Does this bill continue the payroll tax on overtime?
It does not exempt overtime from the payroll tax.
The president said he's going to remove taxes on Social Security. Does this bill remove taxes on Social Security benefits?
The legislation provides an increased exemption amount.
But does it remove taxes on Social Security benefits, as promised by the president?
Does not change Social
Security. Okay.
So they get into overtime and Social Security, but here was the nugget that I thought was so important, Greg, and that is your payroll taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody will still, every single person, yeah. It's not tax-free tips. It's you're still going to have to pay payroll taxes on the tips.
Yeah, so you have to pay, what is it, Social Security, Medicare, all that good stuff.
And in Wisconsin, we've got unemployment insurance. That's part of your payroll tax. You will still be paying that.
Correct. So it's not the huge saving. You know, it also, this is going to incentivize business owners to expand tip pay, you know, tip being the way people get paid.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about,
and we want to get rid of that.
Yeah, the tipping system for work in the United States is deeply flawed. It is not working. You even talk to people that work. Let's just pick like the super duperty duperty high end professional. They have been a server for 50 years. They do super well. Those people will say, "I didn't start out in that job. Boy, did it suck to have to work for tips because." It was so hit or miss. It was not a constant. You couldn't count on it. It is inequitable. It leads to harassment in the workplaces. And fundamentally, what I found interesting was that the National Restaurant Association was very supportive of the no tax on tips.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. You're a restaurant owner, Greg, and I wanted to ask you why that isn't surprising that the National Restaurant Owners Association was like, oh, yeah, that's great. No tax on tips.
Because they don't really represent the small independent restaurant owner or the restaurant worker. They represent like the big restaurant conglomerates and the big companies that make equipment for restaurants and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
they're not talking to us.
Yes. And the hook there, ladies and gentlemen, is that they don't want to pay an actual living wage. And if you paid people a living wage, their big restaurant, mega restaurant conglomerates would be making less profit. Not zero profit, just less, because that is built into these mega restaurant chain business models. It just doesn't work. Whenever I see a tipping situation, Greg, first of all, I try to be one of those people that tips the heck out of folks because I know how hard the work is. But secondly, I'm always concerned for the tipped workers' well-being. It creates opportunities for both restaurant owner exploitation or other business owner exploitation, as well as whomever the person is that gives that tip discretionarily. You know, hey, sweetheart, why aren't you smiling a little
right?
bit more?
Yeah. I'm not going to tip you because I don't like the skin of your color, the color of your skin, you know, that kind of situation.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, I'll go on these discussions on social media and we'll start, you know, people will be talking about tipping and, you know, I'll say something and I'll say, you know, I'm a restaurant owner. Like, well, why don't you pay your employees more? Listen, I wish I could come in here and pay everybody $35 an hour. That would be great. That would be a dream come true. But unfortunately, the amount of money I make for this restaurant is limited on how much I charge my customers.
Yep.
And so it's this dynamic where, okay, I can increase my prices so I can increase the hourly wages and get rid of tips, but I'm going to lose customers because here in the United States, most people do not pay what food costs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they're used to paying for food for a lower price, cheap price. So if I increase the prices of Amelinda to where they should be, would be out of business probably within 6 months or a year.
Well, in this, I've talked to a lot of small business owners, both in the restaurant industry and just small business owners writ large. And I mean small business owners that are of the size that your small business is, Greg. And one of the questions that I ask them is, hey, if we saw a federal minimum wage of $20 an hour, right, and it included people that are currently in the tipped worker category, meaning you and every single other you that's out there that you're competing with, everybody had to pay the same minimum sustainable wage, it would allow businesses to actually be competing. You wouldn't have just Greg, just Amelinda restaurant taking the hit trying to pay people a livable wage. Everyone would have to do so, and it would adjust our labor economics in a way that would help people actually be able to live in dignity for their hard hours of work.
So we pay our servers $8 an hour. Plus tips. So that's above what
way above.
Yeah. But you know, I want them to come to work and be productive, and I want their brain to be here at work.
Yes.
And so if I can help them not worry about, oh, I gotta pay rent next week, I gotta buy dog food. And I'm not saying that what I pay $8 is not good a lot. Let's be honest. I think there's restaurants in Milwaukee that might be paying a little bit more. It's all I can pay without going out.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to change this culture of both tipping and of customers, normalizing paying what the food is worth, what the experience is worth.
What the experience is worth, what the worker is worth.
What the worker is worth. Every now and then I will work on the floor at the restaurant. I have an incredible team in the kitchen now, so it allows me to do other things. So I'll host or I'll help them bring food. And I would never want to do that every day. I mean, that's a tough job.
It is damnedly tough. And I'll just say this about the why aren't you smiling more, honey? This is a little Maggie Dawn story. I cannot. First of all, I worked at Heinemann's restaurant in Milwaukee, doing breakfast and lunch shifts. Brutal. We had 10 kinds of toast that we had to assemble on the plate. And hey, I wanted the whole wheat health nut bread and not this. Anyways, I digress.
That sounds horrible.
I never got sexually harassed at the job. That wasn't the clientele. It is a fairly frequent occurrence for many people that work for tips. I will just say this. People that, oh, you're a lawyer, Maggie. Oh, you're an economist. I'm sure that's never happened to you. I will tell everybody this. I kid you not, after testifying and providing legal advice as the county's top lawyer at a hearing at Milwaukee County, I had a supervisor, an elected official, come up to me and say, I know this one was really intense and we were talking about some really tough stuff. Would you like some feedback? And I said, sure, I always want feedback. And he said, you know what you need to do, Maggie? You need to smile
a
little more.
That is horrible.
If lawyers are getting told this, I guarantee everybody is getting told this when you're working for tips. And I wasn't working for tips. Chef Greg of Amelinda Restaurant on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee. What's your Facebook?
Greg Leon. The one from Amelinda is Amelinda. Yeah. And then one from Amelinda is Amelinda.
Wonderful. I'll be back again soon, Greg, to eat your beautiful and amazing food. I love you, my brother. Keep up the fight.
Good seeing you.
I'll be back.
We'll try.
I'll be back right here. Our tip discussion continues on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. How are you doing this fine Thursday afternoon? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we're going to have a Civic Media, and I think pretty much maybe a statewide exclusive for you before the show is out. Everybody is well aware that Senator Ron Johnson gave some remarks yesterday before the Milwaukee Press Club. It's been widely reported. We've got audio from that because it was kooky and there were lies and it was, you know, typical kooky conspiracy theory-esque lying Ron Johnson type shtick. We've got that sound. But then he went from the press club to the Medical College of Wisconsin. You know, where there are doctors that, you know things about science and asked him questions about actual science. And Ron Johnson said way more kooky, crazy things. He was also on Tucker Carlson's Russian propagandist podcast recently. We're parsing through all that. It was like 2 hours of rambling. I mean, one of the things that I figured out is And I'll just say this. I got my senior producer, Jacob, on. If you ever hear me show up on the radio and to all you listeners too one day, and out of my mouth comes just like a torrent of crazy conspiracy theory nonsense and lies, in there somewhere, I'm trying to cover up something, obviously. It's just, I think it's a really effective rhetorical tactic. You know, the next time I'm in an argument with somebody that I can't do it anymore, I'm just going to hit him with just a bunch of nonsense, right? Just a flood of non-facts, alternative fact, whatever you want to call them. They're called lies to regular people. And I'll just win the argument that way. They just won't be able to keep up with the fact checking or the Maggie. That's not that. I'll just keep hitting them with a bunch of crazy, kooky lies and nonsense that I read on the interwebs and didn't take the time to Google and try to, you know, at least find one unbiased resource. It's effective. I mean, just taking an observation today, what are the few things that have happened in the last 24 hours and how do we possibly keep up with them? Again, I started with the international trade court in the United States, plus another federal judge yesterday went, no, Trump's tariffs. There is no worldwide economic emergency. We're not in an economic. He can't invoke that act. But they're back on today. Harvard. Donald Trump says, you can't have any more international students. They sue. A court says, yes, you can. But he put it on pause. But really, I don't know what it means. Does anybody? That'll go up on appeal. In and amongst Ron Johnson's conspiracy-laden vaccine theories, oh yeah, DHHS is saying, oh, well, you know what's good when eggs are really expensive? When there's bird flu knocking out whole reams of chickens. So, you know, they can't produce eggs, so there are fewer eggs, so it gets more expensive. You know what's a good idea when that is going on? I know. For RFK Jr., the man who said in, you know, before Congress, don't take any medical or scientific advice from me. Not me. Yeah, they'll just cancel the research funding to help combat vaccines, or excuse me, to cancel the research funding into the vaccines to combat the bird flu. Like that happened yesterday. The whole, the meme coin dinner was last week. I can't even catch up. Here's another headline. Vietnam Vets annual ceremony has been relocated from Washington, D.C. to Donald Trump's birthday army parade. That came up. Oh, Hannah Dugan, her legal team, the judge that's being maliciously prosecuted by the Trump administration for having the audacity to say maybe an arrest warrant needs to comply with the federal constitution and our due process requirements and go talk to my boss about executing your piece of paper that has been reviewed by no court and does not articulate probable cause for an arrest. Go talk to my boss about that. Her team filed their legal brief today arguing for dismissal. That happened on my way in. It's so much. But that's the point. When we can't keep up, that's the point. And this is important when we're talking about things like tip tax. There absolutely will be tax on tips. They didn't get rid of the payroll tax on tips, so there's still tax on tips. But what they're relying on is people not paying enough attention to actually understand the issues. The people who may be scraping by in workplaces and in jobs that require tips will simply hear no tax on tips and go, oh, great, that's wonderful. I'm so glad the president did that for me. That's what they're relying on. Not that we all get down a level or two and say, why do tips make any sense? Why do we have them at all? Why is minimum wage still at 3.25? Excuse me, that's, I think, the service industry minimum. It's 7.25 is the actual federal minimum wage. Why is any of that okay? And just as a point of clarification, yes, it is cash tips. Cash does include debit card-based tips as well as credit card-based tips. But here's a catch. Anybody who has ever worked in a restaurant, sometimes they pool tips. Chefs, busboys, and gals get them. These tips have to be received by an individual. We've got just the expert on tips and tipping and the tipping economy from the Center for American Progress to help us understand more deeply, to not be caught up in the flood of news. Coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. There is a theme that I hope you all can glean from the show on a day-over-day basis. And one of the things, one of the strategies deployed by the MAGA regime is to keep the news coming at such a fast and furious clip that we can't really pay attention enough to understand what's really happening or to understand the actual merits of the administration's position, but generously assuming that there may be a few on a given issue, nor the true counterarguments, nor can we get past what I'm going to call the difference between rhetoric and results. Rhetoric and punchy one-liners, really easy for us to remember. And Donald Trump admittedly has got a ton of them. The man speaks in meme. It's not English. It's meme, I think. And he's got a lot of them. And oftentimes these public policy questions, they are susceptible to sound biting if that's all you're interested in doing. But it requires a moment. It requires some additional work on our parts as consumers of information that want to be good faith consumers of information to understand what's really happening. So we try to do that every day. We started today with my friend and restaurant owner of the amazing spot called Amelinda, Greg Leon. He had posted on Facebook basically saying, don't be fooled by the, quote, no tax on tips. And he listed out a whole number of the reasons why this is not really going to help anybody in a meaningful long-term way. In other words, when you get past the rhetoric and you look at the results won't be anywhere near what people who need this the most might hope them to be. It is, at the end of the day, the Donald Trump playbook of politics, the bait and switch. You think you know what you're getting, but it's not going to actually turn out like that one little bit. Our next expert, she is from the Center for American Progress Fund Action Center. Let me try this again. The Center for American Progress Action Fund. There, it came out all in one fell swoop. Her name is Lily Roberts. She is the managing director of their inclusive growth section, and she's going to help us all get smarter about the tax on tips. And the fact, let's just start with this. What are the three or four things about how this is actually going to operate that people need to know? We were talking a little bit about this before you came on, Lily, to help put this in proper context.
Yeah, so the no tax on tips piece of the budget reconciliation bill that's currently about to be voted on in the Senate is this idea that you would carve out tips that you get from an individual from having to be taxed. And that's never been tried before. There's, there are a lot of logistical questions about how that would happen. And it would apply to a really, really small group of people. So about a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all. They're so low income because wages in this country are really, really low. And they're particularly low for people who make what's called the subminimum wage. So in most places, Wisconsin included, but, you know, across the country, there's a regular minimum wage. And at the federal level, that's $7.25. A lot of states and cities have raised that pretty significantly. But then there's this
Lily,
other
don't
group.
Worry. Wisconsin hasn't. It's still locked in at 7.25.
I was looking at the map and like, you guys are being eclipsed by the Dakotas. Like that is, it's not great news for Wisconsin.
And by every single one of our neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. Like
We're a weed desert and a low-wage desert. That's a whole nother topic for another day. Go ahead, Lily. The sub-minimum wage, even lower than the 7.25.
Right. So nationally, that's $2.13 an hour, which is just an absolutely ridiculous, like that doesn't even count as a wage. That has been frozen in time since 1991. You know, it's been a really reprehensibly long time since we raised the federal minimum wage in the first place. But then the fact that that's not even a minimum, it's even lower than that for people who work for tips. And we're going to be mostly talking about people who work for tips in this conversation. But it's important to know that the sub-minimum wage applies to people with disabilities, too. So there are whole groups of people, workers, we've said, you actually aren't even worth the minimum wage. And that's the shameful part of this. The no tax on tips piece is going to be a little bit of a financial giveaway to a very small number of people, but it does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. And that is the piece that sort of is the bait and switch that you were talking about here.
And just in case you're keeping track, Wisconsin, we do a little bit better than the federal minimum wage when we talk about the sub-minimum wage. People
just
are
barely.
Just barely. It's like 233. I looked it up during the break. Mm-hmm. Folks, just so that you know, when I worked at Heinemann's, I was talking about this with my last guest, slanging hash and eggs in breakfast and sandwiches in my lunch shift back in the 90s. I don't tell you exactly when. Yeah, I was making $2.33 as a base wage. And God bless our customers. On occasion, I'd get, you know, the older folks leaving me a couple of 2-3 quarters. It wasn't really getting it done if we had slow shifts. It was, I could not pay for my gas, basically, some weeks to get to work, and I was on the bus. Let's dig in a little bit more. So first point is 1/3 of all tipped workers don't make enough to even benefit one little bit because they don't pay federal income tax because they're not above the federal poverty level. Second thing is, this isn't a permanent tax break, is it, Lily?
No, it's a 4-year tax break. It would go away. But the things that wouldn't go away from this bill are permanent cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. It would make the Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance much more expensive. Those are programs that people depend on all the time and that they need access to throughout their life, especially people who work for low wages. We know that a ton of folks on Medicaid are working low wage jobs. People who use SNAP, they're working low wage jobs. They need that supplement to their income so that their family doesn't starve. Those things would be permanent and they would be really dramatic cuts. And so they're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. Which, by the way, would be structured for so people who make up to $160,000 could declare their income as tips and then not pay taxes on that. So
I wanted that,
that gives away the game a little bit.
It does. And I wanted to get into that a little bit. But there's a second point, of course. I talked about this a bit with Greg, the restaurant owner owns and operates and is the EC at Amalinda in Milwaukee. Payroll taxes aren't going away. You still have to report all of your tips. So it's not like, oh, hey, I just don't have to worry about this. You still have to report all your tips. You still have to pay Social Security tax. You still have to pay unemployment insurance tax if your state has that. Other state payroll taxes plus Medicaid and Medicare. So it is not a tax holiday on all tips. The other thing, Lily, I wanted to ask about, a lot of restaurants have tried to get away from the exploitative nature of gratuities by pooling gratuities and then mm-hmm. distributing them. And as I understand this bill, it has to be a gratuity earned by an individual. So it would create this massive disincentive for the organizations that have tried to get away from people having to deal with sexual harassment or just mistreatment on the job to try to share it with the busboys and the chefs. And they're saying you can't do it that way, as I'm reading it.
Absolutely. And a lot of business owners have decided that that's a better business model for them. They want people to have the predictability, right? Like, a lot of what's tough about running a business is having to hire new people all the time, having to train them, having to make sure that they're like, you know, that you're going to cover all the shifts that you need to cover. Because otherwise, somebody's only going to want to take the Sunday brunch shift. You've got to be able to pool the labor. You've got to be able to help people sort of smooth that out and have business owners be able to plan. And this is, that's always been a tool that folks have tried to use. But it seems like this bill, the way that they've structured it, would actually interfere with that.
It's so ill-conceived, and it is such a again, I want to start with this fundamental premise that these people, folks working in the Waffle House, folks working in the George Webb here in Milwaukee, you deserve a living wage, something that actually covers the basic essentials of living. If somebody's willing to work 40 or 50 hours of hard work every week, and we say, hey, we value work and people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, then it doesn't track to me that we're going to say to you, you're going to make $2.33 an hour, and if your tips don't make up for it, screw you.
And that we're going to put the onus on the worker and the customer to actually make this happen, right? Like, we don't have other, this is not how it works at other businesses. We don't outsource the payment of the person, you know, of the employee to the customer. And it just means that we have this whole system that is totally structured so that people get exploited, they get underpaid, and they burn out on work that they should love. You know, people, you know, many people love working in hospitality. They love being around food and restaurants and bars, and all sorts of other tipped work. But we make it so hard for these industries to do well. And for people to do well in these careers and stay and progress, because it's just a really terrible system of payment.
Well, and to the folks that are listening here and thinking, well, this is how I reward excellent service. Guess what? You could still do that. People would just be able to afford housing, you know, and food and medical care. That, like, that's the hidden secret here. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I talked with the Amelinda's executive chef and owner about this too. If we had a sustainable wage in the United States, meaning a wage that actually can sustain an adult human being, and that was the standard, all restaurants, all businesses that currently have employees that work on a tipped model would be competing on equal footing, because they all would have to pay people an actual living wage. Right now, if a restaurant or a bar wants to pay people a living wage, they are at a competitive disadvantage.
And they're also taking away from their own potential customers. So one of the first things people spend money on when they have like a little bit of a financial cushion is they go out to eat more. We saw in really interesting research, states that had eliminated the sub-minimum wage, they had raised it so that they paid people more on par with regular minimum wage workers, they actually recovered faster from COVID in terms of like employment in the restaurant and hospitality sectors, because they had more people who had some money in their pocket to go out and spend it.
And in Wisconsin, we have one of the most, the highest per capita spend on dining out and recreational dollars. We are, I would like to call us like the most social, let's go hang out and meet and have fellowship over food and drink together. This is the Wisconsin way. I think we can do so much better here and nationwide for folks. And we haven't even talked, Lily, about the fact that, okay, this may provide 4 years. I wonder what's going to happen in 4 years. That's weird that it's time to sunset in 4 years. It's going to help a tiny percentage of people for 4 years, while it leaves behind the 95% of other low-income workers. Can you stick around for another segment, Lily?
Yeah,
terrific. We're going to pick it up on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're talking about actual help for working people on today's show. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a call, a question? You can text or call us. Comment 855-752-4842. Do you work in the service industry? Do you think this is a good idea? Reach out.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen, when somebody tells me, hey, you won't be taxed on that, it does. It feels good. I'm like, yes, that's it. I want to pay less taxes. I don't actually. I actually think I should probably pay more in taxes, but that's a story for another day. That feels good. It's certainly headline grabbing. But the real here, when you get behind or beyond the rhetoric to what the results are, when we talk about this illusory benefit that Donald Trump is putting forward in the big, brutal bill, no tax on tips, it turns out it's a big, giant nothing burger that will do nothing in the long term to actually help people who will benefit from this in the short term. Couple of key points, then we're going to continue our conversation with Lily. Your input is welcome. 855-752-4842. First of all, it is simply no federal income tax on it. You will still pay payroll taxes. Second of all, one third of all tipped workers already earn below the federal poverty line and pay no federal income tax at all, so it doesn't help. 95% of all low-income workers don't earn tips at all, so this ain't helping them one little bit. It also says that the tip has to be given individually, so restaurants and other businesses that have worked to pool gratuities to try to avoid the impacts of harassment, toxicity from certain customers, again, to spread the literal wealth and help all of their employees, that's not going to be allowed anymore. All in all, what this does is it simply distracts us from the fact that we do not have an actual minimum wage in this country. We have subsistence living, and then we tax poor people a bunch. And it's all part of the big, beautiful bill that will cut the safety net, cut the things that will help people when they face economic crises, be they short-term or prolonged. People will be hungrier, there will be less food aid. People will have less health insurance, there will be less Medicaid, and on it goes. Our guest this half hour is Lily Roberts of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is their Managing Director of Inclusive Growth. Is this inclusive growth, Lily?
No, it is exclusive, and it will not lead to growth. Even the thing that Republicans have harped on for decades about driving up the deficit, and anytime we wanted to make an investment in the social safety net or in low-wage workers, it was going to be too expensive, it was going to drive up the debt. This bill drives up the debt, too. It's not even growth for the economy. We know that the things that grow the economy are investments in people, and that includes low-wage people, so raising wages, or more direct things like Medicaid and SNAP, right? Like investing in kids who are hungry has impacts for their long-term health, has impacts for their long-term education. They get better jobs when they're adults because they got SNAP as a kid. Cutting those things is the opposite of growth. And they're going to try to pretend that it's fiscally responsible to do this. But this is just going to be a giveaway, a really short-term giveaway, as you mentioned, in the context of a ton of corporate giveaways to the really, really wealthy. That's how the tax code is going to be structured after this. They're trying to take that tax money that they're quote unquote saving and give it to the rich and the ultra wealthy corporations.
It so much of the big brutal bill conjures up the image in Oliver. Like, may I have some more, please? Like, it's drippings to the working class so that you're like, oh, I got a little bit more here. Oh, but we're still robbing you blind over here. Just don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain stuff. I'd be remiss. We got one caller on the line and a couple of texts I want to hit quickly. I wanted to say this. The cutoff income level is $160,000. As soon as I heard about this, I was like, oh, well, people are going to game the hell out of this. There's going to be all kinds of fraud, waste, and abuse. It's administrative complicated. It will be woefully inefficient when the thing that you need to do is simply raise the gosh darn minimum wage, which would not be administratively complicated, which would not lead to fraud, waste, and abuse, which would make the playing field fair for every small business like Greg Leone's. And I'm Melinda. I'll take a breath. Let's ask Jim what his question or comment is. Say hello to Lily. Jim, what do you got?
Hello, Lily. Hello, Maggie. I heard that CEOs can claim bonuses, you know, huge $1 million bonus or whatever, and say, hey, this isn't a bonus, it's a tip. And so they wouldn't be taxed on that. Is there any truth to that, that a CEO could claim a bonus as a tip?
It's a damn good question, ain't it?
So that's going to be totally up to the folks administering this if this bill passes. So the idea is that they would have a list of occupations or job titles, and they get 90 days to come up with those occupations or jobs. There's no real restrictions on that. It's not like this administration is full of labor market experts. They've fired everybody at the IRS, right? Like, they're going to be able to decide sort of who's in that pool, who gets to decide that their income is actually fully made of tips.
And that, Jim, is the sort of fraud and gamesmanship that is so stupid. Again, just raise the damn minimum wage. That'll help tip workers. That'll help all low-income workers. You'll have a more robust economy because, again, consumers, i.e. middle-class people and working people, will be spending more because they can. What do they spend it on? Restaurants and entertainment. And this. Why would a CEO take a base salary of millions? I'll take a base salary of $100,000 a year, and my boss or my board of directors can tip me every day I do well. And I'll call that a tax exemption. Sweet. Oh, and I forgot to mention, wasn't there this little ditty from the Supreme Court last term? Something about gratuities to government employees for a job well done. Oh, no, those aren't bribes, as long as it occurs afterwards. Unbelievable. Lily Roberts of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, thank you, thank you, thank you, my friend. It's good to see you again. Can't wait to have you back. We've got Dr. Yoshiko Herrera coming up next. In all of the day's news, there is a war going on in Ukraine and a president who seems utterly unconcerned. We'll discuss next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.